Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. Some of the greatest progress made in Afghanistan over the past 20 years was the education of women and their elevation in public and civic life. Those gains came in part through the work of organizations in the U.S. and other countries to help Afghan women work toward equality and success. Now, many of the women who went through those programs are believed to be at risk from the Taliban. Nadima Sahar was an education minister in the Afghan government, and more than a decade ago, a Providence-based organization sent her to college in Rhode Island and then grad school at UMass Amherst. When the Taliban was closing in on Kabul, Sahar sent her two children out of the country. She herself managed to flee a week ago Monday, the day after the Taliban took full control. Sahar has a U.S. green card and feels lucky she got out. She believes the Taliban have been after her.
From what I have heard from my family members, my house has already been searched four times. They have showed up to my workplace at least two times inquiring about me. So I'm assuming that I would be considered a target.
How did you manage to get out and get out so quickly?
The day that Kabul collapsed on Sunday last week, I wasn't prepared to actually leave. So I had my plans of staying back. But then I received a call from my colleagues who were on their way to work telling me that they are at my workplace looking for me and that I need to get out of my house. So the moment I heard that, I straight headed to the airport, not knowing what the city looked like. There was a lot of chaos, a lot of sense of panic, people rushing. As soon as I arrived at the airport, I realized that there were thousands of other individuals who were also trapped at the airport. We waited there for more than 12 hours. And then luckily, I was able to board the last commercial flight that left Afghanistan.
Gosh, it's just unimaginable to think of all that you've been through. You had worked with the government as the Minister of Technical and Vocational Education. What you think of the work that you did can survive and will survive?
It would be very hard to predict right now. So all we have right now is the Taliban assuring us that they will continue and build on the gains of the last 20 years. But I think solely relying on the strength of their word, it may not be a wise thing on our part to do, knowing that there is a significant disparity between their words and actions. So I think we worked on a system. We laid a solid foundation there. But for us right now, to be hopeful for all of those to be preserved and expanded on is expecting nothing short of miracle.
And of course, we don't know what the future holds, but there are women like you who came to the United States, earned college degrees in New England. You returned to Afghanistan after that. But in the wake of the Taliban takeover of Afghanistan, I think a lot of Americans are wondering whether not just military, but civilian efforts like that, giving Afghan women an education here, changed anything in Afghanistan and changed anything that can last. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, things change greatly. We cannot turn a blind eye to the collective efforts and gains of the last 20 years. The number of women we saw in the government, that was unprecedented. 20 years ago, as a young woman, I couldn't dream of attaining an education. But 20 years later, my little kid, my eldest daughter, who is 9 years old, she aspires to become the first female president of the country. And she may not be the only one. We have individuals who aspire to become the first female astronaut of Afghanistan. This is an indication of how far we have come, and not limited only to the education sector. Health reforms, governance reforms in institutional building, across the board.
And is that something that can be erased entirely by the Taliban?
I'm afraid, as of now, going by the incidents that's taking place on the ground, there is a possibility that that may happen. unless we make any sort of aid, donations or contributions to Afghanistan conditional to the preservation of those gains, I would not be very hopeful that they would be maintained or that they would be preserved by the Taliban.
Your life has taken such turns. You grew up in Afghanistan, were educated for several years here in the U.S., went back to Afghanistan and did extraordinarily well. You had to flee back to the U.S. What is your expectation of your life now?
For me, I think I always believe that in issues of war, it's not loss of human lives, but loss of hope that dictates the outcome. So as of now, I am trying to keep that hope afloat. I am trying to do as much as I can to help those trapped in Afghanistan, but then also to have my family come here for me to be together with my kids and then redefining life, starting from scratch. You see most generations just going maybe through one war or maximum witnessing two, but I think in my generation, we have already witnessed 4 to 5 wars. So I think for us, this has what become of our life lately, just reducing it all to a little baggage that we carry around emotionally and physically.
Well, we hope you can realize some of your dreams here in the United States, and we're happy that you're here, even if it meant you had to flee what you had built in Afghanistan. Nadima Sahar, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nadima Sahar managed to flee Afghanistan last week with only a backpack. She's now in Virginia and hopes her children can join her to start a new life in America as she continues her work for the women of Afghanistan. Sahar went to college and graduate school in Rhode Island and Massachusetts with the help of the Initiative to Educate Afghan Women, based in Providence.